Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. One of the men who has a truly free-range mind and an extraordinary ability to translate his insights into, well, actionable, certainly very influential policy analyses and commentary is our guest, I'm very pleased to say, for a full hour. He is Daniel Horowitz, the senior editor of Conservative Review. He has been a prolific contributor to a number of outlets over the years and has brought his talents to bear, I think, with great effect, notably in his commentary, his show at CRTV, and his best-selling book, Stolen Sovereignty: How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. It is always a delight to have a chance to visit with him, and an especial privilege to do so at length when we have a lot to talk about, including about those judges. But we'll get to them in a moment. Daniel Horowitz, let me first say Happy New Year to you, and thank you so much for making yourself available for, an extended conversation. It's great to have you with us.
Great to be back with you in this new year, from one undocumented American to another.
I think we're both fully documented, as a matter of fact, but the documentation may become sporty over time here, depending on what happens in this election season. We'll see. Let me ask you, Daniel, to start with what is almost certainly going to be a very big issue in this election cycle. It's a big issue at the moment, literally as we speak, with Congress trying desperately to figure out how to keep the lights on in the federal government, and that is immigration. You have been thinking hard about and commenting brilliantly on the issues involved in immigration. And before we get to the legislative stuff, and we will probably spend most of the show trying to sort that out, let's talk about some of the underlying realities as you see them. The president, of course, stirred the pot mightily the other day by speaking in a rather, shall we say, deprecating way about some of the countries from which we have been importing a lot of immigrants. But you've done some serious research and analysis in the nature of the immigration flows and the sources of it and the implications for our society. And I'd like to pick your brains about that first.
Sure. I mean, just to start off philosophically, and that's why I mentioned we are undocumented Americans. I said that kind of tongue in cheek, but I think philosophically what's going on here is that we don't matter. We are like the illegal immigrants. It's not just the fact that immigration is perhaps the most important issue, because again, that determines the future orientation of society that we'll vote upon and determine the direction of the country on every other issue. But it's also reflective of the fact that our body politic no longer represents us. The politicians are not, you could say this is not a representative republic anymore. They are not by, of, and for the people. Dick Durbin, the second ranking Democrat in the Senate, he said that he is working full time on DACA. And the thought crossed my mind, you know, you might be a liberal, you might disagree on the role of government and its relationship to Americans, but how could you possibly say that your number one concern is perpetuating the policies of focusing on foreign nationals when it's those very policies that have hurt Americans? And as you noted, I've chronicled that Conservative Review pretty much almost every day this week, the crisis of terrorism among immigrants from the Middle East, the criminal alien problem, the fact that the DHS Inspector General said that ICE has released 2.37 million illegals under very tenuous supervision where they're not checking into their background to vet them for terrorism. This study from John Lott, our buddy, that put together a great report on the Arizona prison population and how dreamers which, you know, is nothing more than the young population of illegal immigrants, are 884% more likely to commit a crime. Just as I'm talking to you now, I see across the wires from, you know, some of the email services I get, another illegal alien stabbed a 61-year-old man in California as a result of sanctuary city policies. He was deported 7 times. I read this stuff every day, but it's this story, it's our side of the story on this issue that doesn't get out there. It's and it's not an equal proposition, as you know, Frank, because when it comes to protecting the safety, security, sovereignty of Americans, that is the core job, particularly of the federal government. Giving benefits to foreign nationals, you might want to do that. You might want to make a political argument to pursue those policies, but that certainly is not a responsibility. Yet we have the main course and the dessert flipped on its head in terms of priorities.
So tease that out a little bit. You alluded to the fact that there is a very high percentage of those involved in terrorism, for example, who are foreign nationals, came in through one means or another, immigrating into the United States. What are the implications just of that? We'll come to some of the other, you know, socio-demographic issues associated with other immigration flows, but just the public safety issues. You follow them closely. How serious a problem is this?
This is very serious, but it's also very redressable. Here's the thing. If I told you, Frank, I want to stop all carjacking in America, that would be pretty difficult. It's an arduous task because there's quite a few carjackers. There's a lot of bad apples among the 325 million strong population, and they're Americans. So there's a limit to what you can do if we want to continue to be a free and open nation, not like North Korea. But when it comes to immigrants, when it comes to immigration, that is an elective policy. We don't have to have it. We could choose who we want, from where, what type. And the number of criminal aliens, certainly terrorist aliens, should be zero. And that's not utopian aspirations. That is very realistic because, very simply, you don't let them in. And if you make a mistake, guess what? There's this probational period of legal permanent resident status that you have a green card, 7 to 10 years, where we see if you're not behaving, we throw you out, something you can't do to Americans. Yet when it comes to Islamic terror, that is completely an imported elective problem. DOJ and DHS put out a joint report 2 days ago noting that of the 549 individuals convicted of international terrorism related charges since 9/11, 73% or foreign born. Now, obviously, these are just people who have been convicted. There's many others in the pipeline. There's many others who haven't been caught. There's many other attacks that you and I, you know, trade back and forth on email all day, just demonstrating that we have a broader problem, either beheadings and machete attacks that don't even get designated as terrorism. But anyway, 73% were foreign born. Now, the other 27%, some of them, they couldn't verify their status. And I would venture to say almost all of them, if they were U.S. born, they were American born to families who relatively recently were brought in, because, you know, before the 90s, we really didn't have much immigration from the Middle East. So the point is, this is an elective problem. It's pure self-immolation in the mold of Europe.
And we have exactly plenty of warning in the form of what is playing out before our very eyes in Europe to take into account as we consider whether we're going to perpetuate this process. Now, Dana, we'll be talking here in a minute about federal judges and the role they're playing, but of course, trying to stop this kind of practice was one of the things that Donald Trump promised to do explicitly on the campaign trail. He said he was going to stop importing Muslims at one point, and then he further refined it over time, both as a candidate and, of course, subsequently in office, to be more precise about trying to make sure that we were not importing more jihadists, more Sharia-adherent supremacists who are trying to impose their will on us through violence where they can, terrorism, if you will, and frankly, through other means where violence is not practicable. When we come back, Daniel, I want to pick up and explore in more detail
the rest of this immigration story and how this fundamental transformation of our population and, as you say, our electorate is going forward, and who seems to think that's a good idea. We'll get into that and much, much more in this full hour of conversation with one of the most brilliant men I know in certainly the Washington political environment. He is Daniel Horowitz of Conservative Review. That is up next, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.